Welcome to the podcast. My name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor from Cajun Country, Lafayette, Louisiana. The goal of this podcast is to provide massive value by bringing insider access to our area's top agents and to agents around the South. My hope is that you take a few things away from their experiences to grow your own business. My guest today is Jeremy Knight, rockstar agent from the Austin area, YouTube star with over 30,000 followers on his YouTube channel, and friend to all agents via his Agent Tactics network of weekly content. So, Jeremy, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to help.
Yeah, man. And actually, this is our second podcast that we recorded. We recorded the first one at the Real National Rise Conference in Las Vegas, and we specifically focused on what you're doing on YouTube, and that one is YouTube, What You Must Know. So go back and listen to that episode if you want more tangible things on exactly what Jeremy is doing with his YouTube channel. But I wanted to jump on this one and focus a little bit more on some of the extra things that you're doing to help agents. So let's start with the most powerful thing. And I think that right now, and I'm hearing this a lot from agents in our community as well, is Jamie, I'm slow. Jeremy, I'm slow. Let's start there. I want agents to get some tangible value as far as what an agent would do if they're slow in the market right now. What you say to that agent?
Well, I would say, number one, look at where your leads have come from and evaluate that first, right? If your leads have traditionally come from referrals, are you making phone calls? Are you reaching out to your past clients? Are you actually touching those clients? I know a lot of agents always want to just go to, okay, well, what do I need to do on social media? I think the biggest problem agents have when they're doing social media is they don't know how to have actual conversations with clients and how to convert clients. Prime example, when somebody asks me, how's the market? I'm like, oh, it's been crazy. What have you heard?
Yeah.
Prime example of this, I had a client do this the other day. And they're like, yeah, we actually had just listed a $3 million lot and we're concerned that it's not going to sell. And so we're actually like starting to interview other agents. Had I just said the market's looking good, blah, 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 they would have never told me what they have and what they have going on. That actually led to me doing some content around a specific neighborhood. And I just introduced somebody to buy a $2.1 million lot in that neighborhood. So we're talking a $60,000 paycheck off of just turning around and going, well, what have you heard? Right. Yeah. So the biggest problem we have as agents is that we don't ask questions. We want to like get excited and tell people what they want, what we want them to hear, instead of listening to what they're actually needing from us and hearing. So if I had to go right now and I had to, like, I have zero clients right now in the book, I'm calling all my past clients and checking in. How are things looking with you? How's the family? I'm literally going through and just cold calling all my past clients. The second thing I'm doing is I'm making content about what's happening in the market, because I'm sure everybody's market is different than mine, but in the Austin market, I'm looking at the fact that there's more inventory than there ever has been. So if I need clients quickly, I'm making content about, hey, there's more listings on the market at any point. And a lot of people are looking at Austin and going, oh, that market's busted, it's crashed. Here's a success story I just had with a client that was buying a home. They offered this below. We got them this. The interest rate was this. This is what's happening in the market. While people are thinking that the market's crashing, we have clients actually cashing in on this market. And look, we have sellers that are doing the same thing. So our sellers that are worried, we're just making sure they're pricing correctly, right? Hey, and if you do want to work with somebody that knows how to negotiate these, my information is below. DM this, text this, do whatever you are. The biggest issue I see a lot of agents make when they're making their content too, if you want this, this is their hook. If you're looking for this, we literally just shot a video yesterday on a $2 million listing that we have on right next to Lake. And the hook was, everybody wants to be on Lake Austin, but how about being off of Lake Austin and not spending $20 million, but spending $1.75 million? Here's what that gets you.
Yeah.
I'm hooked, right? So a lot of agents just, they're trying to do the social media thing, but don't understand when they're creating this content, they need to engage and get people to actually want to watch it. Not if you are, I'm scrolled, right? Here is a scroll, right? So
yeah,
So tell them what they need to hear. Tell them what the problem is. A really good friend of mine does insurance. And today we're talking about this. I'm Paul Guerrero, this. And I'm like, Paul, let me rewrite your scripts for you. And now his scripts are a little more punchier. And he's like, wow, I'm getting more engagement from it. So first thing I'm doing is calling everybody, asking them how they're doing the market, because they're going to ask me how things are going. Hey, well, do you have anybody looking to buy or sell? Second thing I'm doing is I'm going to social media and I'm creating all the content about what people need to hear. There are markets, well, I was just talking to an agent yesterday, that, oh, we don't have any inventory. And I'm like, okay, so what's your problem? Well, I can't get buyers to buy. I'm like, well, are your listings selling in 2 days? Yeah, multiple offers. Well, you sounds like you need some more listings. So now I'm pounding the pavement. Hey, who wants to take advantage of this market? Here's a deal that I just got with a client. We listed appropriately. We just got all of these things. The seller didn't have to pay this. So if you're looking to get out of this town, or maybe you're ready to move up, here's the things that we need to know.
Dude, I love that. I'm glad you didn't say like, hey, you need to go out and start a YouTube channel, or you need to go out and create this amazing thing. Because one thing I'm seeing too is I just kind of started my process on like Instagram, and I started making a couple of adjustments after REVB, that video conference, on, you know, having that quick punch in the first 3 seconds of the video, but really focusing on that local interest content that people will share with their friends. And I don't have a ton of followers on Instagram. I might have 2,000 followers, but I'm getting 50,000 views on these videos that have a quick punch, but that are interesting to people in Louisiana. So like, as far as realtors, like, don't get caught up in the vanity of having Jeremy's followers on YouTube or Jeremy's followers on Instagram. That doesn't matter. That, like, you can get a lot of views on an account that has 200 followers on there.
Are you watching my paying attention to my Agent Tactics Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay. So today I posted on Agent Tactics a screenshot of a text that I just had. So there's an agent in my market that has been doing YouTube for like a year and a half now. And she just really started getting into it. And she's, when I say she's in my market, like, she's in my yard, right?
Gotcha.
We service the same part of town. We work in the same part of town. Her content is solely focused on this part of town, where my content's a little bit more wider ranging.
Gotcha.
So, I don't even think she has a thousand. I think she's at maybe like 600 subscribers.
Right.
Anyway, she texted me today, I can't believe it, I'm almost at 300 GCI this year just from YouTube alone. Not all the other stuff, just YouTube alone. I'm getting a client a day in a market where it would be phenomenal to have buyers because of everything I've said about buyers and sellers in my market. So the thing is, you don't have to have a big YouTube channel, and you don't have to be like, you don't have to have a big YouTube channel, and you don't have to worry about the big YouTube channels in your market as competition, because the reality is, once you show who you are and what you do for your clients and how you're going to help and your personality, that is what clients are attracted to. And that's a whole thing of social media. Look at these huge social media accounts. People go, oh, man, they bought their following, or they did this. No, they interact with their people. They make content people want to see. They're engaging. That's why people like those people, and that's why they're going to call them.
Yeah, absolutely. On the BAMS Broke Media, they had a virtual conference, and Alex Harmozy was on the virtual conference, and they asked Alex, they said, hey, what do you think about an agent coming into a network, starting a YouTube channel where there's an agent like Jeremy Knight, who's already there, who's got a ton of followers in there? And he said, think about it like this. Do you like movies, right? And everybody's like, yeah, of course. And they're like, do you like every single type of movie? And everybody's like, no. You know, like, each person likes a specific type of movie, and each person's going to vibe with, somebody's going to vibe with Jeremy, or somebody's going to vibe with this girl over here, or whoever. So it's like, when I thought about it like that, it's like, absolutely, you can totally have success. But if you focus on, let me try to get to 100,000 followers, that's the wrong approach as far as the platform. Am I right in that?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think that Alex probably articulated what I said a little bit better. But yeah, I mean, look, you got to do what's best for you and your business. And so if it's creating a YouTube channel, then focus on the people that you want to serve, because I guarantee you, not everybody likes me. Not everybody likes the other people that are on YouTube, but they may like you. So who cares what other your competition is? Pay attention to what your competition's doing, for sure, right? See what your what works for your competition, but don't be your competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't try to go on there and do exactly what Jeremy's doing and the style that he's doing it and try to mimic that, because that feels weird. That doesn't even, that's exhausting. Like, how could you keep that up?
Here's a great example of this. I was watching this Michelin star restaurant, and they said, you know, we got our Michelin star because it wasn't because we went into our competition and saw what they did and copied it. What we did is we took all of our servers, everybody, we shut down the restaurant and we booked an entire table at this restaurant had like 2 Michelin stars or whatever. We sat there and we weren't looking for what they were doing right. We were looking for what they were doing wrong. And we found there was 2 things they did wrong. One was there was a specific type of coffee. Like when somebody asked for coffee, like their coffee sucked. So we made these elaborate dessert coffees that people would want to come to. And then I forget what the other one was, but like it was something about the service, right? So we changed that in our service and people come for our coffees. Now they come for these things that were the small issues that just weren't over the top. So we do everything else well, but those are the 2 things we capitalized on. And now we're competing with our competitor, and our competitor doesn't even know how to compete with us. So look at what your people are doing wrong, your competition is doing wrong, and focus on those things and make yourself look amazing at those things.
I like that. Yeah. That's actually a really cool change of thought on things. So a little flip. Yeah, for sure. So talk to us a little bit about Agent Tactics. You know, we know you're rocking out with YouTube, but you are spending a lot of your time and your effort putting amazing people in front of an audience nationwide. So tell us a little bit about what Agent Tactics is, what the goal of that is, and how can agents go and follow you and be a part of that every week?
Yeah, so Agent Tactics is basically a live mastermind every single week, and it's open to everybody. I mean, I initially started it just for my agents at Real. I mean, I have a very large network of agents at Real, and I initially started it for them and realized that I didn't want to just do it for them. I want to do it for everybody. And so what we are doing is we'll bring on really amazing guests, and we'll talk about different topics. We largely talk about YouTube, right? But we'll bring on people to talk about this is how I learned too, right? I learned by asking questions. So everybody that's in the audience gets to learn through me asking questions that I want to know for my business, right? So prime example, I had Bill Olson on Agent Tactics, and Bill had this really amazing style of content he started on Instagram. And my Instagram was okay, but it was a lot of just like spaghetti on the wall. And so I was like, man, this is right up my alley. I love doing this kind of stuff. It fits what I'm doing. I'm just going to go all in on this. I went from like 7,000 or 8,000 followers on Instagram. We're talking about a 2-month period to we're about crossing over 16,000 today. And I'm getting leads from Instagram. People are reaching out from Instagram. I'm getting the mayor reach out. I'm getting all these people reach out to me that would have never reached out to me and wanting to collaborate with me. That's the value in Agent Tactics. It's maybe stuff you're not thinking about, but it's stuff that you can put into your business. And I always look for the things I can easily do that will be an add-on to my business, or things that are in my business that I'm doing wrong that I can take off my business. And that's what Agent Tactics is about, is fine-tuning those skills through people that are doing it already. The way you get to it is you can just DM me the word Rocket Fuel. It's a weekly mastermind. The link stays the same. The person we bring on changes every week. So it's 10 a.m. Central, but every single week. And then why I did it live versus doing a podcast is I get to ask a bunch of questions, but the audience gets to ask a lot of questions too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's Thursdays, 10 a.m. Central.
Correct.
Right? Yep. Gotcha. Yeah. And I love to join in on that. And I have, you know, it's kind of been what's nice about it is you kind of just put that in your schedule as an agent. You say like, man, like Thursdays, 10 a.m., I know Jeremy's going to bring somebody of massive value to the table. And then what's cool is a lot of times you're like, hey, anybody got any questions for Bill Olson? Unmic and ask the question. Yep. And then, you know, what's awesome is then you're getting to ask a producer who's doing a specific niche and get to ask him a question, be like, hey, how are you lead gen in this thing? How are you setting this up? How are you getting leads? Those kind of things. And it's like, I love the tangible ability to ask a question like that to a producer, that has a ton of value. You know, Bill was just on the stage at REVB, and he'll be on the podcast next week. So we'll expand on the local interest content and the strategy that he's doing. But like this past week on Agent Tactics, which I thought was totally awesome, was it when Bill came? I'm not sure if it was last week or the week before.
Bill was on last week, yeah.
He was on last week. But like, honestly, like when he came on, I was expecting to hear more of a recap of what he did at REVB and talking about the local interest content. But what blew my mind was he actually talked about his email list strategy and how he's created this system of off-platform opportunities, which he's just warming it up. And it's like 2,500 people, 70% open rates, and he'll expand on that in his podcast. But like, that's the kind of stuff that I join, because it's like, okay, man, yeah, they may have somebody that maybe I've heard a little bit of their information before, but man, you just get some value sometimes that you step on there and you're like, and I'm sure even for you, you're like, man, I didn't even know he was doing that. Like, I knew he was crushing it, but that's really cool what he's doing on the back end.
Yeah. And I don't want to take away from what he's doing or what he talks about on your next podcast. So definitely tune in to the next podcast with Bill Olson, where he's going to share all the secrets that I'm actually using now. But what I like about what he did is, if you think about what we're doing with social media is fantastic. Social media can drive leads, whether you're doing TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat, whatever it is, can drive leads. But if you can't convert to conversations, then you're not actually doing anything of value, right? You're not actually putting money in your pocket, which is what the whole goal of anything you do should be done. What I like about what he did is he's taking multi-angle approaches and saying, okay, I'm already doing YouTube really well. I'm getting people to get me from YouTube. How do I build something that's going to touch people again? And then how are they going to find me on Instagram? So I'm going to touch people from all these different directions. And at one point they're going to go, oh, you know what? I'm going to call Bill, or I'm going to reach out to Bill. And so that's what it is. The way he's going to talk about it next week is a multi-touch process. And I think it is a very smart way to go. So definitely tune in for that.
Yeah, for sure. And another thing I heard from Josh Rogers in Jacksonville is he said he's doing a Facebook group, you know, so he's created a Facebook group for his YouTube channel, because he's like, YouTube, all my followers on YouTube are invisible. He's like, I can't see them, you know, yeah, maybe on comments and stuff like that. But I thought it was crazy to think about, like, yeah, you're right. Like, if they go follow you on YouTube, they may be watching your videos for a very long time, and they may never comment on anything. They may not even follow you, because of the way, and Sean Jardine said this on the podcast too. She said, like, I don't, like, my people who follow me, they watch me on TV, and I don't even think they know how to follow me on their TV, but my content is still in front of them. But like, they're invisible to her. So Instagram gives you that platform where they can maybe interact with what Jeremy or Bill is doing, and then they can literally maybe shoot you a DM there on Instagram, or sign up for your newsletter on Instagram. It gives you a way to pull them off platform versus being kind of invisible on YouTube, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So, but tell us maybe another strategy that you picked up on Agent Tactics that you were like, damn, that is so smart, and I'm hoping to implement that in my business. And you're operating on a level 8 or 9 for anybody, but I want to hear something that Jeremy heard on Agent Tactics that you're like, man, I have got to do that in my business. That would be something I'd be curious about hearing.
Some of the things that one person that I have kind of reoccurring is Christy Jinks. She's actually my coach from Tom Ferry, but Christy Jinks, a couple of things that we've even had, she's a 5-step process for five different ways to get business in this market. There's a couple of things in there that we like inserted on the back end. So it's just a process, you know, a couple of our processes and how to convert some leads a little bit better, and how to work with one of our agents on our team to convert at a higher level. And it was just like having a better conversation. And so that was one thing we implemented. It was just a conversation technique. So one thing that we try to do is when we go to listing appointments and things like that, we try to ask more questions than we do answer questions. And one of those things, and this is one of the things I helped teach my agent, was when somebody asks me, how should we price the house? My process is I give them all the data, and then I'd be like, okay, what do you think? And then I'd wait for them to tell me a price. or they would try to get me to answer a price. I realized that and sometimes I would give the price. And so what I decided was, okay, I'm going to give them a range. I go, okay, well, the lowest comp here is this, and the highest comp here is this. So this is our range. So based on the range, what do you think? And so I never answer the price question. What I always do is I have 3 or 4 net sheets lined up in my thing. And so when we hit the same number together, I literally will pull out that net sheet and go, yep, that's what I thought. I have that net sheet right here. And it proves that I was already on that same wavelength. Yeah. And if I have clients in this market in Austin, if I have clients that are like, okay, it needs a list of 500. They're like, we need to be at 550. I'll go back through. Okay. So based on these comps, what makes you think that you can actually achieve that 550 number? Well, you're going to do really good marketing. That's where I pack up my crap and leave.
Yeah.
Right. Because the reality is I'm not going to overprice a home. And so I ask more questions. Okay. So why is it that 550 is such a number? Okay. So it's more of a feeling for you than it is based on the actual data that we're looking at. Well, you know, in my situation and when I look at, you know, so it's more of a conversation asking more questions versus me saying, well, I don't think we should price there.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I think a lot of things like I'm doing too here locally is my department is promotions, marketing, advertising, all of that stuff, making your house look really good, getting it in front of as many eyes as possible. Your job is the price. Now, sometimes the price will affect where we, you know, how well our promotions and marketing will go. And like you said, that comes down to, do you even accept the opportunity if somebody's not reasonable with their price?
Yep.
So I guess you just got to decide at that point.
Yeah. We've said no to a lot of listings this year. And I've seen them sit on the market. So
yeah,
I'm okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause that's money. That's money going out of your pocket. Yeah. That's, you know, marketing, advertising, promotion, time. I'm sure time is a big thing too with us right now. We both have young kids. Time is a big thing, right? Like if you're spending your time working on a listing, promoting, marketing, advertising, an overpriced listing, that's time that you don't get to spend at your son's baseball game. You know, or that's something that Jeremy's taken away from his family that he can't spend time with his son at, you know, at something else. So we're, you know, hey, we got to be respectful to each other's time.
Yeah. I mean, too, and you may be at a baseball game, but you're texting clients and trying to get a price reduction for somebody that you shouldn't have taken the listing to begin with because, and then you're frustrated and not even in the moment with your own child. So, yeah. So I think that's the beauty of what we do with social media as well, right? Especially with YouTube. Fun secret is, you know, I have a large network of agents here, even locally with Austin. So I can always tell when a client's just not going to be the right fit for me and right fit for us. And so, but there's a lot of agents here locally that they would just be a better fit for, right? Yeah. And so I said, you know what? I think I'd really love to help you, but I think such and such on my team, it would be actually a much better fit because the reality is at the end of the day, you care about getting the right price. You care about these things, right? And to be honest with you, I don't know that we're fully aligned, but I know for a fact, because I've worked with this agent, they're going to be fully aligned with you. So why don't I put you in touch with them and actually have them represent you? Because I want to make sure you get the best, right? And you want the best, but
yeah, absolutely.
Get a referral fee. Let them take care of it.
Yeah. Let's talk about referral fees too. You know, John Jardine had talked about that as well, as far as the benefits of having a YouTube channel. And it's a great opportunity to not only work with people on the local level, but get that opportunity in a referral in the referral of their home where they're coming from moving to. So tell us a little bit about what that process looks like for you, just so that people who are starting their journey on YouTube can not miss that opportunity of getting the referral. So how does that work for you as far as referrals in general?
Well, so we actually take in a ton of referrals. I would say in a week, I probably get 2 to 3 referrals a week from agents. And so I think that's the beauty of YouTube is that people know that I know the market. They know that I can help their clients and they think of me first when they think about Austin most of the time. So that's the beauty in being on YouTube and showing people that you understand your local market, you're helping people in your local market. So you get a lot of referrals there. Now, I give out a lot of referrals as well. And so, and that's because of the channel. And so that sometimes on the channel I say, hey, if you are looking for an agent in a different market than the Austin market, you know, the beauty of this is I've done all of these things. Agent Tactics gets me a lot of referrals as well. Agent Tactics is a good source where I give out a lot of referrals. So I think one of the things that you just have to realize is the more your face is seen, not only will a buyer or seller reach out to you, but other agents will as well to send you the referrals.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. So I want to talk a little bit about what Raj is doing, and maybe we'll have Raj on the podcast at some point. But I want to talk about, like, if you had to go back and start a YouTube channel over again, which style would you pick to do on a brand new channel from zero? If you had to go back right now, knowing what you know, years on YouTube, what type of channel would you start, like, right now? And then maybe expand a little bit on what Raj is doing too.
So I think what Raj is doing works in the Austin market, and it may not work in all markets. So Raj is doing a property tour style where he's doing a voiceover, but it's a lot of new construction primarily. And so those videos actually do very, very well because you have a lot of the SEO juice from the big builders, from a lot of the, you know, from just because those builders are paying for ads, putting their name out there. So if you're putting that builder's name out there as well, you're going to get views on that video. And then he's doing a voiceover talking about all the things. And even in his videos, he'll say he's not the best realtor for you. I think that style is absolutely phenomenal, especially in a new construction area. Because most of his business, and I'll let him talk about his process, most of his business is all just new construction. In fact, he refers the rest of it out. If you're looking to buy a resale or sell a home, he's got referral partners for that. So his style is amazing. I really love the newsy style. It's just me. But honestly, if I were to start this whole thing all over again, I would vlog. Like actual vlog style. And I would mix it between showing people properties and showing people like what they're getting in the area. I love the neighborhood. Preston Gale, I really recommend you bring Preston Gale on here. His style is phenomenal. Preston Gale does just like basically neighborhood tours. And just his whole style is fantastic. He's a lot of business from there. Michael McCall, very similar style. He's down in San Antonio. That overall neighborhood tour. Both of those, like the new construction, just the property tour itself works really well. The neighborhood, and then just being the person telling you, here's the neighborhood, here's what. I think that style is a little played out now because I've done it and everybody just copied it. Levi Lasik sells that in his course. Here's the top, the pros and cons of this. I mean, everybody that's putting out content in Austin now, they're all doing the same beat up content. So you got to find what's best for you, but I would do more of a vloggy style if I had to do it again.
Gotcha. Which that would be similar to maybe what we're doing now, just getting on the lives or talking about Austin.
No, I would take my camera and I would literally just have me walking around different parts of Austin, telling what's like, so right behind me is this, it's, you know, here's, let's actually walk through and show it to you. People like this because of this. And then maybe bring on a client or somebody or do man on the street interviews. Man on the street interviews, I don't think really, it's weird because I love those. I think they're fantastic, but I've never seen them actually do well on for realtors on YouTube, but I would just like walk around and be in the area. I think out in the area, it does really, really well.
Gotcha. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I always think about what somebody might say and, you know, in my mind, I really like Raj's style and that's kind of the thought that I have moving forward.
It's so smart to do because it's actually not as hard to do as the vlog style. Vlog style, you got to come up with a lot of different stuff. Like his style is you have the deliverable right there. It's the house, right? That's the piece. Now let's just talk about the piece. How much can you talk about this piece, right? And people are there to hear about that piece.
Yeah, I love that. So I guess we are getting a little bit tight on time. We blew through 30 minutes, no problem. I figured we probably would, but let's get back into one more thing, and then we're going to close it out. But I really want to focus on these agents who are struggling. So kind of coming full circle from what we talked about before. Let's talk about agents, you know, one thing or one or two things that they can really tangibly do. Let's forget maybe what you've accomplished on YouTube. You know, let's maybe even forget about Instagram or doing something on social. What do you think an agent can do like today to like actually get something of value done today? What do you think about that?
So there's a guy in Austin, his name's Jeff McElroy. He does mainly like infill lots. He does mainly like developer stuff. And year to date, he's done 35 million. And his highest year before that was like 12.
Gotcha.
So what Jeff is doing is literally talking to developers, talking to builders, asking them what projects they have, asking them what their needs are, introducing them to other people. He's building a network of people on his phone that if a developer goes, hey, I need a buyer, I need to offload this. He's got 10 buyers that are ready to buy stuff. So why I'm going to that is social media is fantastic. Social media is great. Jeff has sold more homes. Well, volume wise has done more volume than I have this year with a small team. He has a small team as well. And I do YouTube, right? I'm not out running around as much as he is, yet he's beating me at this game, right? I really do think you should bring Jeff on here as well, but start having conversations. The biggest thing you can do in this industry is just start having conversations. Ask people what their needs are. Ask people what they need. Connect them for free to other people. Don't ask for anything in return. Just be a connector, because when somebody actually then needs something, they're going to call you. Now, what you were looking for is run ads, run this, do this. The reality is the more conversations you have as a realtor, as a connector, as somebody in the market, the more conversations you have, the more people you talk to, the more opportunities you're going to have. It's really hard to get a lot of opportunities when you make a video. You can make a video, but then somebody's got to watch it. Just to the point, you made the point earlier about somebody who was saying like, oh, that's why a lot of my stuff goes to Instagram, because I can actually see the engagement.
Yeah. Yeah, man, for sure. I agree with you. It's getting on the phone or getting out in person and like shaking hands, kissing babies, kind of political office style way that you grind and get business. You know, like I feel like a lot of these agents right now, like they're just seeing what Bill Olson's doing, or they're seeing what Jeremy's doing on Instagram, or they're seeing these videos that Sean Jardine's putting out, and they're like, I need to do that. And then they spend all their time all day researching that, trying to do that, trying to recreate that, when they could have had 20 great conversations by going to a grand opening of a business or calling their past clients, like doing those things.
Well, think about it too. Like, so Sean's a great example. Sean's going into these communities and actually having conversations while she's there. So people know her because she's shooting video. So she's out, but she's also talking to people there. She's also networking with people there. She's not just going out shooting a video and then boom, I have all this business. I don't have all this business just because of the YouTube channel. I have the YouTube channel is a fantastic piece of my business and I get business off of it. But it's because when somebody calls me, right? Because here's what happens. I get a call. Yeah, Jeremy, I'm looking for a house maybe like a year from now. Okay, well, why a year from now? Well, you know, we got to sell our house here and then we got to move. Okay, well, what has you moving? Oh, we're thinking about this. Okay, well, what has you thinking about Austin? Well, you said all these things in your video and that lines up with, okay, how does that make you feel about all the stuff that I've talked about? The more questions that I ask and the more I have that conversation, the more I can get out of that conversation, the more I can say, okay, well, you know, it sounds like you said you were a year away, but the reality is it sounds like you're 6 months away. And when I talk to clients that are 6 months away, we really should start talking now and set a buyer appointment to actually go through how our market works, how everything works in real detail. And then because you're going to get your house in the market. In fact, you know, you said you wanted to get it on the market, you know, in 6 months, but it really sounds like it's 2 months. So I actually have a really good agent in that market. Do you mind if I put him in touch with you? Oh, perfect. I have converted more clients to close sooner because I've been able to have the conversation. The thing is, when you have a client that's 6, 8, 10 months out and you stop having conversations with them and stop the follow-up, the FU in the business, right? They go off and work with another realtor because you forgot about them.
Yeah.
But if you can convert them sooner and follow up with them sooner, you're going to create more business. And I think the biggest problem most agents have is they don't know how to have conversations. So I would script practice like crazy with other agents. I would script practice with your friends. If you're brand new to the market and brand new to real estate, I would legit look at all, like I would go through all of the different podcasts where people are having conversations. And I would just tell my friends, like, hey, look, I'm new in real estate. I'm really trying to learn. Do you mind having these conversations with me and being a script partner with me, a conversation partner with me, and literally bounce these conversations? Well, here's what's going to happen. That person's be like, hey, my friend is actually in real estate, because you've worked with them so much. They're going to like tell other people about you because they see how hard you're working. People don't want to work with somebody that doesn't work hard, right? Like think about the people that are your friends in business that you don't refer business to. It's because they don't, I sell homes. But it's the people like asking questions and being like in your face, not in your face, but like present, that those are the people you want to work with. And they're going to tell more people about you. So you got to have more conversations. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely love that. And your style is very similar. And Tim Macy actually said this on his podcast, is he said, I am excitedly curious.
Yeah.
And I said, that is so powerful. Like, and I don't want agents to miss that, because Jeremy, when he's asking all these questions, is cool. Tell me more about your house in whatever city. Tell me more about what you're looking for in a next home. Are you downsizing or are you upsizing? Or, you know, do you want walkability? Do you want land? What do you want? You know, like, help me understand what you want. And like, just be excitedly curious about their experience. And people love to like talk about themselves. So like, that's a perfect stance to take as a realtor, is just get excited about what you're doing, but get excitedly curious about why they are potentially transacting with you. And even my office mate who sits right here at my desk on the side of me, she is so good at just being excited. You know, she's just fired up. She's excited about real estate. She sells, I don't know, 100 houses a year, but she's excited about real estate. So that excitement comes off, but not only is she excited, but she's excited and she's like, hey, tell me more. I want to know why you're doing this. I want to know why you're doing that. And then all of a sudden she's selling 100 houses a year,
yeah,
because she's taking a genuine excited interest in her clients, our potential clients. So I thought that was a great stance, but it sounds like that's absolutely what you're doing, like in your scripts and everything. So, but yeah, man, well, Jeremy, I appreciate your time, my brother. I hope that everybody will go follow you on Agent Tactics.
Yeah,
we're going to put some of that information in the details of the podcast, because I want agents to go and follow that every Thursday at 10 a.m. Central and get some of that value, man. Go in and jump in and hear a producer, somebody that's actually doing some volume, doing something interesting on YouTube or Instagram, or it's all over the place. Like you said, Christy's coming on this next week and it's going to be awesome. So Jeremy, thank you again, my brother, for spending so much time with me and helping me with my business and
being
you know, jumping on the podcast again, man. I knew we would bring tons of value to agents, brother. So I hope that you guys reach out, man. He's a great resource in Austin. He's a great resource for agents. He's a great mentor. He's a great leader. So Jeremy, again, a million times over, thank you, my brother, for being on the podcast.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, guys. Well, thank you guys for tuning in every week. Monday mornings at 5 a.m., we launch a brand new episode. So do us a huge favor and share this episode with a friend who may be struggling right now. Give us a great review. Leave us a 5-star review. And guys, I hope that you reach out to either me or Jeremy. We'd be absolutely honored to help you in any way that we possibly can. And I hope that you guys have an amazing day.